7. Please open your Bibles there. I can't believe we had a blizzard a week ago. We got the air conditioner on this morning. We're trying to cool it off for you just a little bit, but it is running. And if it's too cool, let me know. I see people still fanning, so I don't reckon you're too cool. Matthew chapter number 27. Get that back there off, fellas. Matthew chapter 27. If you will. This one's pushing that way fast. I think you'll be all right. Thank you. Thought a truck was coming running outside or something. It's pushing that way fast. It might be too cool. If it is, let me know. And if it ain't, I'm sorry. We'll just look at this scripture here just a minute this morning. Everybody, everywhere I go, all down there this week, was talking about the movie, the Passion of Christ movie. And I've heard a whole lot about it. And this message is on my heart this morning. Actually doesn't have anything to do with the movie coming out, but I'm going to refer to it since everybody's talking about it anyway. There was a whole lot went on the last 12 hours of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Physical life, you know, in His body. What I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to read you one verse, and I'm going to ask you to hold your Bible out there, and I'm going to show you four men that were there when He died. That old song says, "Were you there when they crucified the Lord? Were you there?" I told my daughter the other day, I said, "When you see that movie, honey, you remember that's probably as close as you'll ever be to seeing it just like it really happened." And when it really happened, there wasn't music playing. When it really happened, there was nothing nice. No air conditioned popcorn, soft seats to sit on. It was a bloody mess. It was a bloody mess when Jesus died for our sin. It was a brutal murder. He gave His life up for our sins. An atonement. The Bible calls it an atonement. That word atonement, spelled A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T, but break it down. At one man. See, me's over here and God's over here, and we're at odds. And then the atonement puts us at one with each other. Atonement. Atonement. Propitiation. Propitiation means go between. Like one's here and one's here and they can't get along. I'm going in between them to bring them together. Daysman in the book of Job means you got a hold of God with this hand and a hold of sinners with this hand and brought them together. He's the bridge. He's the middleman. He's our mediator. Another word the Bible uses. Mediator is a go-between. A go-between. Like a lawyer goes between you and the judge. There's four men that were centered around the death of Jesus, and you're going to see yourself in one of these four men. Everybody in this room today is represented around the cross of Christ, and we're going to see where you and I fit in the story. Matthew 27, and if you will, this morning, look at verse 22. This is one I'll be talking about, but I'll show you another verse of Scripture. Matthew 27, 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." So Pilate asked the question I'm going to ask you this morning. What shall I do with Jesus? That's what my message title is this morning. What will you do with Jesus Christ? You say, "Well, I ain't going to do nothing with him." We got you pegged. We got your man right here. Now, I'm going to show you four men in the Bible. You with me? This is one way you know the Bible's true. If man wrote to me, he could have never done this. Man could have never come up with this. All right? The first one. Look at chapter 26. Look at chapter 26. Back one chapter. I'm going to give you four verses of Scripture representing four men. And you're going to see yourself in one of these men. Matthew 26 and verse 69. Matthew 26 and verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." There's man number one, Peter. He denied it. He chickened out. When the going got tough, he bailed out and went the other way. He denied him. Number two, let's take your Bible and turn to chapter 27 and look at verse 24. Chapter 27 and verse number 24. I'll show you another man around the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 27, 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people, and this is where they get that the Bible's anti-Semitic, or it's against Jews, or it blames Jews. Look what the Jews said. His blood be on us and on our children. And brother, have they ever had it since then? Their blood's been shed all over the world, the Holocaust, in the days of German Nazis and all of that. They said his blood be on us and on our children. Still going on today. But the man there's Pilate, 24, he tried to wash him off his hands. So we got one man here saying, I'm out. I don't even know who you're talking about. We got another man saying, I'm not really saying he's good. I'm not really saying he's bad. I'm innocent. You do whatever you think. That's the second man. You might fall into that category this morning. Let me show you the third one. The third one is in chapter 26. Again, look at it. Chapter 26 and verse 15. Chapter 26 and verse number 15. Look at it with me. It will. Matthew 26, 15. And the Bible said this. Verse 14 tells you who it's talking about it. Judas Iscariot. That's Iscariot. Iscariot. 13 letters. And he's a type of the Antichrist. And Judas' spirit will come out of the pit one day where he went and will inhabit the body of the devil during the tribulation, the Antichrist. Look at chapter 26 and verse 15. And said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to what? Betray him. The first man just says he don't know him. Second man tries to wash him off his hand. And the third fella betrays him. Sells him out for 30 pieces of silver. Let me show you the fourth one. Fourth one is chapter 27 again. Chapter 27 verse 54. This man is called a centurion. Now a centurion, chapter 27, look at verse 54. A centurion, what does that word look like? C-E-N-T. Looks like century, don't it? Century. Centurion, that's 100. That's 100. A centurion was a ruler over 100 men. He was in charge of 100 men. And he was there at the cross, and he said in chapter 27 and verse 54, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The centurion confessed him and believed on him. You see yourself in one of those four men. Everybody in this building today is pictured by number one, who's chicken to take his stand. He believes in him, but he's scared to take a stand for him out in public. Number two, Pilate that says, well, I'm not really for him. I'm not really against him. I just really don't know which side I'm on. Judas, who says, hey, give me money and I'll sell him to you. I'd rather have money than and won't get rid of him. Or the centurion who looks up the cross and said, he's exactly who he says he is. He's the Son of God. He has come to take away the sin of the world. He's God in the flesh. I want him in my heart. Everybody in here this morning falls into one of those. I was looking at this last night and I got to studying about it. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. How we see mankind fall into the pits. Human nature. The Bible is the best book in the world on human nature. It tells you how humans react in every circumstance and under every possibility. So number one, the Bible talks about Peter. Let's look at Peter just for a minute. Peter denied him. You say Peter was saved, wasn't he, preacher? He sure was. You say, what happened to him? Let me tell you what happened to Peter. It can happen to you. I know people right now that it's about to happen to. I know people probably sitting in here this morning that you're that close to becoming like Peter. You know what Peter done? Peter stayed right there with the Lord. Listen to me. He stayed right with the Lord, saw the miracles. He saw the Lord raise the dead. He saw the Lord feed 5,000. He saw the Lord. But when it really got bad, things didn't turn out like Peter thought they ought to turn out. And he just said, I've had it. I'm getting out of here. I'm checking out. The truth is, Peter got just a little bit aggravated because the Lord was just going to let him take it like that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what causes you to backslide this morning? You listening to me? You know what causes you to backslide? Dr. Ruckman said, he said that everybody who backslides, go back far enough, you found out they got mad about something. And everybody's backslid here this morning. I can take you back to a point where you got mad at God and said, why did this have to happen? Why didn't it work out this way? I'll tell you what you better do when things don't work out like you want them. You better swallow it and suck it up, brother, and go on and serve God and not start questioning God over it. Not start questioning God, because God don't make no mistakes. Listen, it wasn't God's will for stuff to happen like that, right? But it did, and you got to go on and live for God anyway. Old Simon Peter betrayed him. There are three things that led to him getting backslid. Number one, he neglected to pray. He should have been praying, and he's over there asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet Peter went away. The Lord, when he said, you boys stay here and pray. And when he come back, he found Peter asleep. Right then, he should have been up praying. When God gives a big trial's coming, the Lord gives you a time to prepare yourself spiritually. And if you don't get to stand the test. If God's blessing you right now and you're making good money and you got good health and everything, let me tell you what you better do. You better start preparing. Because something bad's fixing to happen to. Sooner or later, it may be financially, it may be physically, God's giving you the good times, so get ready for the bad times. And if you don't get ready while things are going good, you won't be ready when things are going bad. I know Peter neglected to pray. You want to tell you what something else Peter did? He followed afar off. See, he was following the Lord. Andy, stand up here just a second. He's going to be the Lord, and I know you really got to use your imagination. But start out that way. All right, I'm Peter. I'm following the Lord. But he was just like this, you know. He was just like this. But when he got mad and aggravated, he was like this. You just keep going, Lord. And he was still following him, but he's from way over here. See, there's some of you doing that this morning. You're still following the Lord, but you can barely see Him. He's about ready to go in somewhere and you'll lose Him if you ain't careful. Amen? Come on. Alright. He's followed the Lord afar off. He's still following Him, but He's way behind. You ain't near as close to Him as you used to be. Remember when you was just right with Him? Okay, brother, thank you. Don't walk around up here the whole time I'm preaching. Listen, he's close. You was close to the Lord. I mean, when you was close to the Lord, now the Lord's way up there and you're way back here. That will cause you to get out. He should have been praying. He wasn't. He should have been walking close. He wasn't. And then the Bible said, I'll preach a whole sermon on this one of these days, he warmed himself by the enemy's fire. You know what he did? Bible said them guys up there had a fire, and Peter stood and warmed himself. Did you hear me? I said, Peter warmed himself by the enemy's fire. And ladies and gentlemen, that was his downward step. When you warm yourself by the world's fire, it's a sure sign you've got away from God. Maybe you can understand if I say it like this. When it takes to thrill you what it takes to thrill them, you've done got far away from God. When you have to get your kicks the world gets their kicks, you're following afar off. Now, you understand it like that? Look here. Peter followed afar off. Then he got backslid. Then he got mad. See, over in the Garden of Gethsemane, when that guy come up, they come through them bushes there with lanterns and stuff and said, "Who is he?" And the Lord said, "I am he." And the power of God knocked them down. I don't know if they put that in the movie. Was that in the movie? Male! Well, I'm going to have to call him up and have a Bible study with him. What he done, he stepped out there and said, "I am he," and the power of God knocked them all down like that. I seen them do the same thing on Benny Hinn. He goes like this, and they all just go like that, right there like that. And them people was trying to crucify the Lord. They was lost people. They wasn't slain in the Spirit. They were slain by the Spirit. And the Spirit of God knocked them down like that, and they come back up, and Peter says, "You ain't taking the Lord. You ain't getting my Lord." And he pulls out his machete and goes, "What?" Cuts his ear off, just like I'm going to do him. And brother, the Lord says, Peter says, "What?" And did they show that in the movie? Isn't that cool? I'd like to see that man. The guy's ear falls off. And boy, and then the Lord reaches down and touches it. It jumps back on his head and quits bleeding and everything. Did it show that? Man, that would be nice. I'd like that now. I'd like that. I'd like that boy in the ear pop back on. And you know what? That Peter does like that. And the Lord says, put your sword up. By the way, Peter was not aiming for his ear. You don't really think he's aiming for his ear. He's trying to split that boy's head. And that guy moved it like that, off went his ear, man. The Lord just had mercy on that poor fella. And the Lord said, now Peter, you got to put your sword out. He said, why? He said, because you take the sword, you perish with the sword. And he said, you won't let us fight. You won't let us, what's the deal here? Lord, he said, they're going to take me. What do you mean they're going to take you? You mean it's over? And he said, heck with it. And he goes on downtown to get him something to eat. He goes into a restaurant and sits down. That little girl comes in there and waits on him. She said, would you like something? He said, no, ma'am. He said, ma'am. She said, sir, is that gospel tracts I see in your pocket? No, some addict gave me them. I don't even believe that stuff. And they said, well, you're one of them, ain't you? He said, no, I am not. She said, well, you sure do talk like one of them. I can tell who you've been hanging around by how you talk. He said, I am not that way. You get away from me. I don't want to hear it. And then she said, I know you're one. He got mad and didn't leave a tip. And she knowed he was a Baptist preacher then. And brother, I tell you what. She said, you've got to be. You've got to be one of them. And boy, he went there and wiped the mayonnaise off his mouth from that hamburger and slammed his fist down and said, here's your money. Blankety, blank, 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 blank. I don't know it. My daughter told me, she said, Daddy, that movie had one cuss word in it, and the preacher said it. I said, That sounds about right. Wasn't Judas, wasn't the devil. It's the Baptist preacher, Peter. I said, par, man, that's par. But anyway, she said, I said, what did it start with? She said, it started with D. But old Peter slammed his hand down like that, and he went blankety, blank, 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 and he stepped out the door, and the rooster went, and when he did, boy, he turned and there come the Lord down the street there. And he looked at him. I'll tell you, this morning, people, Peter denied him. He's just like you teenagers that go to school and they make fun of you and they point their finger at you. And you're one of them Christians, ain't you? And you say, no. My mama makes me go to church, but that's the only reason. And you deny him. You fit into that category, number one. You denied the Lord. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said category number two. Here's Pilate. Now Pilate is pictured in the Bible as the man who, humanly speaking, had power to crucify him or release him. Now we know what Jesus told him. He said, you ain't got no power at all. God's the one that's in control of this thing. He said, don't you know that I have power to release thee or kill you? And he said, you ain't got no power at all against me, man. If the Lord didn't give it to you. You can't do nothing that God don't allow. But humanly speaking, Pilate was in charge of that show. And boy, I'll tell you what he done. Pilate represents a politician. He's your perfect politician. He tries to play both sides. He don't want to offend anybody. Anybody in here like that? He's got a good job. Is anybody hearing me? He's got a good job and making a lot of money. And he knows if he takes a stand one way, it'll hurt him. If he takes a stand another way, it could lose his job. So he tries to back out and say, I'm not making no decision either way. But I'm telling you this morning, you just can't wash Jesus Christ your hand. You cannot remain neutral. Pilate rejected him. Pilate rejected him. If you don't accept him, if Pilate took his stand and said, yes, I believe he's the Son of God. He's an innocent man. He did say he's innocent, but he never would take a stand to defend him, he had lost his job. But if you said, yeah, I went ahead and crucified, he'd have went against his conscience because deep down inside, he was scared too. I know a lot of people like that. There's people all over this town this morning. I've known people for years. I've knew people for years. And they'd sneak around. We used to have this fella come, Big Shot in Marion. And he'd come down to our church at New Manor once in a while. He'd sneak down there. I mean a big shot. Big, big shot. And I had other big shots in Marion tell me the same thing. They said, you know what? And they said, we love to hear you preach. Said, we love coming to that church. They said, you make it understandable. We can understand it. This guy sat in the parking lot and told me. He said, you just don't know how much I get out of it. I said, well, man, why don't you just come on? He said, now, you know what it costs me if I come to your church. Businessman. I thought, you big chicken. You big chicken. And listen, did you know God's always hid the truth in little old nest eggs like this right here? Well, you have to pay a price to get it. You know, you can't cooperate with the world and be popular in the world and enjoy the blessing of God at the same time. Did you know it's impossible to walk with the Lord and walk with the devil at the same time? You're going to pay a price somewhere. You're going to have to take a stand one way or the other. And brother, Pilate wasn't willing to do it. You don't go over there at that shining light. Isn't that worse? That guy? Yeah. He was scared to do that. He said, it's my husband. He's me. My mom and dad make me go. I don't really believe. That's Pilate. He's chicken. He's a politician. He tries to play both sides of the fence. Like public officials. He wanted to keep his job and allow the innocent to be crucified. But this time, the man was God in the flesh. Number three. Let me show you the third fella. The third fella was Judas. He betrayed him. In chapter 26, verse 15, he come to him and he said, what do you give me? And I deliver him to him. See, they want him dead. Them people wanted Jesus Christ dead. And he said, all you got to do is give me. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. I've heard people say how much that was worth. I forgot how much it was, but it wasn't a whole lot of money. 30 pieces of silver, and he sold out. You know who Judas is? Judas is the one that says, I'm tired of trying to do right. I don't want to serve God. I'll sell him out. If the devil will give me what I want, I'll just go live for the devil. There's people sitting in here this morning right now. The devil's offering you a sinful lifestyle. He's saying you can come out here and have fun. Look what you can have if you'll just live for me. And you're fixing to get out of church, sell the Lord out for cheaper than 30 pieces of silver. And you are a traitor. You're a traitor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Benedict Arnold, brother. I mean backstabbing, two-timing, traitor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this world's got a lot to offer, but every one of us ought to make up our mind this morning that we're going to stay with Him. We're going to stay with Him. By the grace of God, we'll stay with the Lord. I want to tell you something. I challenge anybody in here this morning. I was thinking about this morning, and I said, Lord, I want to stay with You. I was preaching the other night, and God got real to me, and I said, I want to stay with the Lord. Listen, I've made mistakes. I'm the sorriest Christian in here. I don't claim to be nothing, but I'll tell you what I've done since the moment I got saved. I have stayed with the church. I've stayed with the book. I challenge anybody in here to find where I've got away from this book preaching, and my preaching's been according to this book. And brother, I challenge anybody in here to show me where I preach false doctrine or something. I don't care what society says. I don't care if it hits me. If I'm wrong, if you're wrong, or if it's your mother, I want to stay with what this book says. And I have, by the grace of God. My life ain't always measured up to it, but I don't think yours has either. But by the grace of God in my heart, son, I'm with that book right there. Amen! I ain't going to betray Him. My flesh may be weak. My flesh may be sorry. But I'm telling you this morning, brother, my heart's tied to that book and His Word. And in my dying breath, I want to go down saying it's true. It's true. It's true. I don't want to betray the Lord. I don't want to betray the Lord. I don't want to betray the Lord. I want to betray the Lord. If they talk about it at work and they bring out their magazines and they say, well, everybody's going homosexual or everybody's doing this or everybody, I want to say, no, I want to be true to Him. I'd rather have Jesus than this world, what this world's got to offer, than anything. I'd rather be true to His holy name.
Amen, brother.
You say, well, Brother Danny, you've had a lot of stuff happen to you that knocked you out of church. If I let it, it would knock me out. And if you let it, yours will knock you out. But you got to make up your mind that no matter what happens, I'm going to stay. I don't know about you, but I'm sticking around this stuff. I'm staying around this right here. I'm staying around this. I'm staying around the book. I'm staying around church. I'm staying around preaching because it's going to turn out right. Sooner or later, it's going to turn out right. Judas betrayed him. Don't betray him. Somebody here sitting here this morning, the devil's offered you something. Some old guy at work flirting with one of you girls, saying, hey, all you got to do is leave your family, leave your church, come and go with me. That's a devil talking to you, trying to get you to betray him. And I can tell you, girls, 9 times out of 10, he ain't worth 30 pieces of silver. Amen. He ain't for dime. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. Pilate tried to wash him off his hands.
finally, the centurion confessed and believed him. He saw how Jesus died. He was standing there looking over 100 men under his power, and he watched him. And he heard him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He heard that. And he's sitting there thinking, that little boy's sitting there thinking, man, you reckon that's really true? You know, about that time, the ground started shaking. I'm telling you, man, there's an earthquake. I think that was probably the biggest earthquake the world ever seen, and that might be where some of our big mountains and stuff come from, that day that Christ died. Like Grandfather up here on Table Rocks. You ever wondered what just poops them things up there like that? The flood did a lot of it, but when Jesus died, there's no telling what kind of shaking this world went through. He shook the earth! Now, if you're standing there watching a man die, Pilate said he couldn't find no fault with, and miracles had accompanied his ministry, and he reached up like this and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And about that time, the sun went out, and the ground started shaking. Brother, I'd get something going on too, wouldn't you? Woo! Lord, can you imagine how wicked them people were saying, it's a coincidence the sun went out in the middle of the day. It's a coincidence the earth just happened to shake. It was a total... They come on CNN, they come on Fox News, they come on and said, well, it's just a coincidence. And you know how them Christians are. They try to make something out of everything. It was a coincidence that he looked up and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The ground started shaking, the sun went out. It got pitch black, dark. Demons started hissing. The veil of the temple goes... That thing was that thick, man. I mean, 254 trucks couldn't pull that thing in two. If you really, he couldn't rip it apart, stuff of that. Hey, man, brother, I'm telling you. Hey, man, I got so much in me, I can't get it all out. Lord of God, brother, he saw it. He saw the sun hide its face. He was convinced that Jesus was the Son of God. He looked up and he said, Lord have mercy. He said, truly, 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 this man is the Son of God. That's the attitude you want to have this morning. When they give you a hard time at work, just say, truly, he's the Son of God. If they say, what'd you think about Mel's movie? Say, truly, he was the Son of God. If they say, you believe it really happened? Say, truly, he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He will be the Son of God. I'm going to email Mel if I know how to email Mel. I don't know how to email nobody. If my girl showed me, I'm going to send him an email and say, Mail, M-E-L, take that money you made and make a sequel. Yeah. You know, like Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Terminator 1. Lord, wasn't he a lethal weapon? He made one movie to make up for sin. He's got to make another movie to make up for the other sins. That's what one of the news commentators said. You ought to take that profit and come out with another in about a year and a half from now. He got $150 million now to put in one. And if he'd let me tell him how to do it, you talk about a blockbuster, brother. I'd say, hey, listen, the name of this one's going to be He's Coming Again. The same Jesus. And have the second coming. And show the world like it is this morning. And all the sin and everything. And about that time the rapture comes. He probably don't even know what the rapture is. And the Christians leaving the world and going up in the sky. And the Antichrist, Judas comes back. You know? I mean, boy, man's got enough money to make it up real. I mean, the whole thing, the plagues. And brother, then we'd have revival. You make one like that, boy, it'd scare the devil out of them people in Hollywood. Jesus, that same Jesus, he's coming back. His passion, what he died. But the next time he comes, they ain't going to put nails in his hand. Next time he comes, they ain't going to make mock him. Next time he comes, brother, to shoe him on the other foot. I'm telling you, this whole thing is going to turn around. He'll rule in power and glory for 1,000 years and we'll be with him. What about that? There's the crowd you want to go in. That's the category you want to fall into. You wait when the Lord comes back. All these Peters and Pilates and Judases say, but Lord, really on your side. You was really on your side. Yeah, right. Yeah, come on. You went to school and didn't even talk about me. Yeah. You went to work and told them you didn't even go to church. Yeah. You read everything else and wouldn't even take your Bible where you work. You was ashamed for anybody to know you even knew me. Yeah. Lord, have mercy. If you kids would get a hold of that, you'd take that Bible and put it right on top of your desk at school. And if they say anything about it, sue them. Amen. I tell you what, brother, it's about time we let this world know that we're on His side and find no fault in Him. Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, He was the Son of God. I'm on His side. Till you can show me somebody better, I'll just stick with Him. What do you do with Jesus? Everybody in here is doing one of them things. You say, I'm not doing nothing. Pilate. You say, I've had it. Judas. You say, I'm mad. Peter. You say, all right, preacher, he's got. Politician. How could you say no? I'll tell you this nice clothes I was telling them last night. I've been in church every night this week and had a great time, man. I enjoyed it. And you know I like basketball, and I don't get to see a lot of basketball games because they're home during church time. So what I do when I'm like I'm off preaching this week, I'll come back late and I'll turn the news on and watch SportsCenter. Anybody ever watch SportsCenter? And that's really the best way to do it because you get to see the best parts. You don't have to sit there through the commercials and sit there through halftime. You get to see the best dunk and the best passes and just ding, ding, ding. You get the whole ball game in about 30 seconds. Well, they showed on there the other day, I don't know if anybody's seen this, they showed on there one of these ball games that had a mascot. You know how they have these mascot or a dog or something, whatever they are back. And they come out and they got these big costumes on like his. Well, they called this girl out of the stand, and this girl, they just called her out there, and she's going to get shoot a half court shot and win a bunch of money. You know how they call somebody out of the crowd. Well, they got her all out there, and everybody quiet, and the mascot comes up to her like this and takes his hat, big head thing off, and it's her boyfriend. And he kneels down like this and takes out a ring and hands it to her like that. And she said, no. She did. Because you know everybody was going, oh, how sweet, how romantic. And that girl, here's exactly the way she went. She went. And it showed her going out in the crowd. And that poor fool sitting out there like it. Did anybody say that? That was crazy. Yeah, there's something that did. Oh, I felt so sorry for him. And everybody thought, oh, how could she be that mean? How could she be that? And it showed her over there. She was over here in a big crowd of people just going, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe. And I thought, man, that was about the meanest thing. Why didn't she just say, yeah, in front of everybody, and then took him over and said, I can't do this. Or something. Lord have mercy, didn't have to humiliate him in front of all them people. But she did. Of course, he should have had better sense. I mean, couldn't he tell a little bit ahead of time? I don't understand people. Man, look, ought to know what she's going to say. Ask her. Of course, you never know what they're going to say for you. You don't know. Never mind. Some of y'all been married 10 years, you don't know what she's going to say. He might ask her the next day, and she said yes. But anyway, I thought about that. And I thought, that poor fella. Really, that's pitiful. And then I thought, how do we think the Lord feels? Every Sunday, He's offering it. Will you come and be my bride? Will you come to heaven? And people just walk out and say, I want you. I want you. And turn around and walk out that door like you think you've got good sense. You just rejected Him. Have you rejected Him today? Have you turned Him down again this morning? What do you do with Jesus? What will you do? Let's stand by our heads for prayer.